621 at WFMD. It is the Morning News Express. Well, Diana Gibson's been mentioning it all morning long. That county council passed a school construction fees bill. On the phone with us, joining us is Councilman Kirby DeLauder. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I appreciate you joining us this morning. So tell me, you know, this was a pretty lengthy discussion about this school construction fee, and kind of take us from the genesis of it to where we stand or what you guys voted on last night.
Well, it's the school construction mitigation fees. We started back as commissioners just basically as an incentive to get some building going because of the recession that was happening back then. You know, we're just trying to incentivize some of that and actually get a separate fee that's actually paid at recordation, which is about 2 years ahead of any housing that's going to be built, which, you know, gives the schools some time to plan on the students that they're going to have, you know, other than impact fees, you know, are paid when they pull a building permit, which the timeline's a whole lot shorter. So this fee, you know, gave the schools a little more time to plan for that.
So this is on top of what you just mentioned, the impact fees, right?
Yes.
Okay, so are we saying that the impact fees were no longer enough money to support and to build schools in, correct?
No, I mean, the impact fee covers the cost of a seat. This was just over and above.
Okay.
I mean, we were trying to make sure that we're going to get back into this. We need the money. Let's try to get what we can get, you know, to incentivize them to do a little bit more and get a little bit more money to build the schools and actually to put it aside, you know, for any of the school construction. We all know that it's never gonna meet the product demand, and that's what I talked about last night. It's not, you know, we gotta look at how we're building schools. You know, when I was a commissioner, an elementary school was, you know, $25-28 million, which I still think is too high, but that's what it is, and what it was. Today, Waverly is on the books for $61 million. So we can't go every 5 or 6 years and double, triple the price of a school and think the fees are going to keep pace with that. It's never going to happen. So the fees are part of the solution, but we also got to start looking at the public-private partnerships, one of which that I put together 3 years ago,
right,
that would have built four schools. We could have built four schools, you know, for what we actually built two for. And we couldn't even build two without, again, holding the gun to the developer's head and the builder's head and say, this is what you're going to do. There is a limit to what they can do because they pass it on to the consumer, and it's just going to get passed on to the young couple trying to buy a townhouse or somebody trying to move up, you know, or buy another house in Frederick County. It's just where it is. And we've been attacking this problem from the same vantage point for 25 years, and we've never solved the problem. That's my point is we got to look at this differently to solve the problem. I gave a solution, and nobody wanted to hear it, and here we are. You know, here we are again talking about the same old thing. And
well, that's one of my questions. I had two. You already addressed two of the questions I had written down. You know, one was to address your ideas of building schools. The other one was, does this kind of put in place any kind of parameters when it comes to building schools in Frederick County and the cost of building schools in Frederick County? We keep talking about fees of what other people have to pay to help build the schools, but there's nothing being said about keeping construction costs down.
No, it doesn't. Again, when I put my plan forward, Dr. Lever, who at the time was the guru in the state for building schools, he sat right in the public meeting and said, this is a great idea. It needs a little bit of work, but it's a great idea. It'd be a great start to addressing the school construction problem. And our county executive threw it under the rug and said, we're not talking about it anymore.
Right.
That was it. I couldn't even talk to staff about it. They wouldn't even answer my questions anymore. No more public hearings. Get rid of it because it was political. You know, she knew if they solved that problem, she'd had no more political football to play with a lot of her constituents that really want, you know, they want to control growth. And you control growth by not building schools. That's not solving the problem. That's solved the problem. And we're not doing that. We never have done that. I said last night, the pipeline for building has been essentially the same for 20-some, since the early 90s. About 20 to 24,000 homes in the pipeline. It's been that way for 25 years. We know that. There's no surprises in school construction or who's coming down the pipeline that, you know, that's going to move here and need a school seat. That's not part of the problem. The other thing is, too, we started to address as commissioners back when I was on the young board was transfer tax.
Right.
And that was, you know, that was something that's not politically popular. So we did the mitigation fee in lieu of the transfer tax to try to appease everybody. I still think a transfer tax is probably part of the answer, along with redistricting as well.
And I agree with you on a transfer tax, and I've been that way for a long time, except because if somebody comes in with 8 kids and buys a house that's already built, they pay nothing. But if somebody comes in and they're single family, there's no kids, and they buy a new home, then they're paying a whole lot in a tax, because they bought a new home. So, yeah, I think it's equal, but, you know, the real estate agents out there would just jump all over me for that one.
Sure, that was a big pushback that we had on that. But you got to understand, you're exactly right. I mean, if people do come in here and buy an existing home and pay nothing and put 4 kids in the school system. So you got to be able to balance that. Again, redistricting, we should do that every 4 or 5 years and look at the boundaries to see what schools are overcrowded and if we can shift some things around. There's a lot of different answers if you want to solve the problem. But if you're going to just say it's a builder's problem, it's not. They have... You know, the county, this is what I said the other day. The county said, look, for 25 years, 30 years, look, here's what you need to pay in order for us to build schools. The builders come along and pay that, and then the county 5 years later says, well, you didn't pay enough. Well, whose problem is that? I mean, but you're only going to be able to move that fee up so high until the builders say, you know what, it's not feasible to build here.
Talking earlier about some of the your decisions, and I saw here, and help me understand this, that the school construction index, which adds an annual increase of 2% to the current school construction fee, and then sets a maximum annual increase at 6%. So am I right thinking, okay, well, we're going to say 2%, but we'll always be 6%?
Yeah, you'll probably be 6%. And, you know, if we get the council that I think we're going to get going forward, they'll probably move it up to 8 or 10%.
Well, okay, so then my next question is, I hope not, but...
wait and see.
Yeah, I know. Well, the election's right around the corner. One of the things that you did, though, is that you voted for this, and you were talking about you could have voted, you probably should have voted your conscience in voting no, but yet you voted yes for it. So I'm kind of wondering, you've always been kind of a guy who didn't go along to get along all the time. So why did you vote for it?
Well, it had the votes when my vote came up. You know, I probably should have voted my conscience and voted no. But, you know, in conversations with, a lot of the building community, you know, they were just saying, you know, we hope you vote for it because it's a starting point and at least we have something, that we know is there. We've been dealing with, say, for 2 years. It's been a football going back and forth. And I get their point. They don't know. It's up in the air and they don't know what the answer is. At least now they got an answer. And I thought that was fair to do that for them and make sure, you know, it had the votes. I probably could have voted no, but, you know, I did tell them, you know what, if it was going to go down, I'd probably go ahead and vote for it just because they were asking me to do that. And a lot of them are my constituents. So, I'm there to represent them, and that's what I did. So,
one question, and then the fact is, you know, people will say, well, the builders, and I'm using air quotes here, they're still making money hands over fists, so they can afford to do this, and they can probably afford to do even more.
You know, it's risk and reward. They lose a lot of money, too. You know, when the recession hit, you know, 8-10 years ago, you know, it took a lot of builders out. I mean, it bankrupted a lot of them. So, you know, the risk and reward. Yeah, do they make a lot of money when times are good? Yeah, they do. But, you know, you got to put a lot of that money away for when times go bad. And this is a cyclical industry. You know, you might be up 4 or 5 years. You might be down 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 years. You know, you don't know. So, yeah, you make money, but you also have to put a lot of money away in order to survive the downturns and the political BS that you got to put up with being used as a pawn all the time. This industry is probably one of the most used industries, you know, as far as political pandering that exists.
Well, there's still a lot of people who believe that they would love to be able to close the borders around Frederick County and not allow anybody else in anymore. There's a lot of no-growthers out there.
Look, you got two people running for executive right now. They're saying, look at the job growth. Look what we've done. Look what I've done here. Look what I can do for job growth. Well, if you're going to have job growth, you got to have housing.
Right.
I mean, where are they going to live? So, it goes hand in hand. There is a balance to it. I mean, I personally am in the building industry, and I don't want to see 5,000 homes a year built here. You can't sustain it. Or you can sustain it, but you can't. The infrastructure won't handle it. The majority of our infrastructure problems are at the state level, where we have one person who's running for executive who didn't do a damn thing about the infrastructure for the 8 years they were in office, but somehow magically they're going to fix it when they're county executive. People just need to get informed. I mean, these people are pandering. They're lying straight out about what they can and can't do. And if we do, the developers, we got people building interchanges now, developers building interchanges, building bridges because the state and the county can't get their act together and do it. If you just think outside the box, we can build the infrastructure. If the state were even thinking halfway smart, even one of the people that's running for executive right now, why didn't we widen Route 15 while we have it all tore up from Hayward Road all the way through through Frederick? They tore the whole damn road up to put stormwater management in and build a bridge. But instead of thinking, how much cheaper it would have been, or less expensive, I'd say cheap. How much more less expensive it would have been to widen it to three lanes all the way through Frederick while they had that tore up.
Well,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Then we wouldn't be able to have more Jersey walls, when they decide to do it and drive through that for years and years and years.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, if I had that authority, I'd have been lobbying the state day one to say, why aren't we doing this? Yeah. Why aren't we, widening this road or whatever? But, we don't have anybody that's elected even understands infrastructure is one of the most expensive things we do in this country. Yet we elect people that have no idea what they're doing when it comes to that, to even guide staff members, say, look, why don't we do this? But, staff members do what they're told. If they're told to shut things down and not build roads, that's what they do. So, and we have, we put priorities on things, like bogus stormwater regulations. We spend $60 million on, but we can't build a road or a school. It's insane, but that's